Have you ever been on a swamp tour of the Louisiana Bayou?
Avoided it.
You avoided it. You've been there, bud?
Yeah.
How was it like for you?
Great. It was different.
It was different. Well, back in August of 2000, my wife and I went on a swamp tour of the Louisiana Bayou. And it was fantastic. It was about 98 degrees out, Bill. And it was humid, and there were gnats flying around, and there were these trees that were hanging down like they were trying to grab onto us, and we're just floating along. And there were about four or five alligators around the boat at all times. It was fantastic. But see, we took so many pictures that we ran out of film. And just as we ran out of film, I don't know if they did this on your boat, but the guide to the boat says, "All right, now, it's time to pass around the live alligator." I said, "Oh my goodness, this just keeps getting better. I get to hold a live alligator." But you know, if I get home, brothers will be like, "Man, you ain't never hold no live alligator." So I needed some proof. I didn't have any film. Well, the guy sitting next to me looked like a surfer dude. He kind of like from Malibu, Alabama, of Malibu, California. I don't know. Maybe there is one. And he took his long blonde hair and he just, whoosh, and he looked at me and he said, "Dude, I'll take a picture of you and I'll send it to you." And I thought, "Oh, that's really nice of you to go out of your way and take a picture of me." Like, so I posed for the picture with the alligator, and all right, it was a little smaller, I can't even lie. Because you were on the boat, you probably know. Plus, the picture will become public one day, just like our other pictures together, bud. Well, that international convention is something, isn't it? Anyway. Yeah, I know. Anyway, so I posed for the picture. The guy took my picture, he took my address, and said he would send it to me. Now, later on in the boat ride, keep in mind how hot it was outside. It was so hot that my wife and I had to go to the front of the boat to get sodas. And my wife got a Sprite because she loves Sprite. I got a Pepsi because I love Pepsi. My wife sat down with her Sprite. I sat down with my Pepsi. And just as we sat down, that same surfer dude who was sitting next to me, I overheard him say to his wife, "Honey, I ran out of money for a soda." Now, we ran out of money too, but what do you think I was thinking? Right, does he like Sprite? I was kind of thinking that. I can't even lie. Every man in here was thinking the same thing. No, I was thinking, you know, I really should give this guy my soda. He went out of his way to do something for me. I really should. But it's 98 degrees out here. I'm thirsty too. I need to drink. But really, I should give him my. And I'm debating on whether or not I should give the guy my soda. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know what the law of reciprocity is?
Yeah.
It kicked in full steam. See, I didn't have a want or a need. I had a craving to give this guy something in return because he went out of his way to do something for me. Kicked in full steam. So I'm back on the boat. I looked at him. I said, "Look, man, I should have said this a while ago. Would you like a soda?" He said, "Dude, that would be fantastic." I said, "They're at the front of the boat for $1. Go ahead and get it." But I'm kidding. Here, take mine. Take mine. And I felt relieved. It was like I had to give him something in return. But here's what I want to talk to you about, and this is the key that you need to pick up for number one: commit to a scene. Commit to a scene. Think about this for a second. You knew I was in Louisiana, but where was I? I was in a swamp. Okay, what was around us?
Alligators.
That's all you can think of is the alligators, right? Sound like you were saying a Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody said it together. All right, alligators, what else?
Nets.
Nets. What else?
Trees.
Trees. Trees hanging down. What else?
Humidity.
Humidity. What else? Water?
Probably snakes.
Probably some snakes. Look, he's over here making up stuff. Got some snakes. In the upper dimension, there were trees. In the lower dimension, there were alligators. What else?
Other people.
And when I was in Tampa recently, the guy said an empty camera. Okay, which absolutely, an empty camera and my wife's cold Sprite. There were a lot of things around us. Okay, now, here's how I used to tell the story. Like most speakers do, I walk around. And I'm telling a story like this because I want to engage both sides of the audience. I want to engage everybody in the audience. What does that do to my scene? What does that do to the scene I've created? I'm moving too much. This is what most speakers do. We walk all over our scene. We walk all over our scene. If I'm creating this scene for you, I need to commit to this scene the entire time while I'm telling this story. Okay? If I'm walking back and forth like that, that's just like I'm walking all over the boat for no reason. Now, there was a reason. When I went up here to go to the front to get my sodas,
yes.
What did I reach down into?
The cooler.
In the cooler. Now, I didn't have to say cooler. You saw it. Okay? One of the things Patricia Fripp taught me was people won't remember what you say. They will remember what they see when you say it. You got to make it very visual. So here I am at the front of the boat. Now, if I do like I used to and keep walking that way, what's going to happen to me?
You're going into the swamp.
That's right. I'll be gobbled up because I walked over our tour guide. I mean, you don't want to do that. It only makes sense that I would stop here because this is how I've created my scene, and I want you to see it. So I stop here and I go back here, and now here I am with my wife again, and here I am next to the surfer dude. I've created my scene. I have to commit to it the whole time I'm telling this story.